Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very senior corporate leader from Mauritius, Mr. Manish Bandhan. Manish, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you, Ashutosh, for the opportunity to participate and to talk with you today.
Thank you. Thank you. Manish is a chief people officer. He's a corporate monk and he's an author. And we'll talk about his books. And all of you know, I'm very partial to authors. So Manish, before we start talking about human resources and coaching, tell me a little bit about your own journey.
Okay. My journey has been atypical, I can say, because I didn't get into human resources by choice. Mm-hmm. It was more by what I'd call an accident of life, actually. So as you can imagine, being of Indian origin, I had mainly just two choices, either be a doctor or an engineer. So there's no third choice, is it? And so I was studying to be an engineer in Singapore. Mm-hmm. I had a scholarship. I was in the prestigious Nanyang Technological University. Studying engineering there. I was in first year and my elder brother Vikram was in third year. But there's sometimes life throws you these kind of occurrences and tragedies which changes your life, you know. So in my first year, my brother was in third year. He after a football match, he collapsed on the field. Oh. And fortunately he passed away.
Oh my God,
sorry. So and I was 18 years old. I was in first year. And so my life changed that day because I had to take several key decisions at that point in time. I had to call home and inform my parents. I had to forego my scholarship and return home and decide then whether to go back or not. So I listened to my parents and I decided to stay back and not go back into engineering. So what happened then is going through kind of a depression also, I started to work as a way to find time, to spend my time more wisely, let's say, after 3 months. And so I started to work and I ended up in human resources. That's where they placed me in human resources. So I worked for a year in human resources, found it interesting, and then decided to shift. So that's where then I started to study human resources. And from there, I had to rebuild myself up. Because what happened at that point in time in Singapore, the way it impacted me is I had to suppress a lot of my emotions to go through shock, the trauma at the age of 18. I wasn't prepared for it. None of us are prepared for such things. And when I came back, I was completely broken, you know. So I had to restart and rebuild from there.
Quite amazing. So, what an amazing story. And thank you so much for sharing it with me on my channel. So Manish, let's talk about human resources. You have been a chief people officer and you're also a coach. So we'll talk a little bit about coaching, but let's first talk about chief people officer. Mm-hmm. Over the years, I wanted to ask you, how has human resources changed? I remember when I was with ITC or you know, and I'm much older, but in 1979-80, there used to be a personnel manager and an industrial relations manager. And now it's evolved into a CHRO or a chief people officer. Yeah. How has human resources changed over the years?
Well, the answer is simple. It has changed the way the economy has changed. Mm-hmm. When it all started, it was part of the industrial age where you had a personal manager, because everything was focused on production. So it was really the industrial age where you had to ensure your production line is working, you're churning out your products and your workforce is organized with that adequate level of education to be able to produce. Okay. And then we shifted into the services economy. That's where we had the emergence of human resources managers, where as you're serving people, the service economy, so you need to have more people skills, more focus on the customer. So then it became human resources focused on helping provide service, but still it remained quite transactional. And now as we shift into the information age, information economy, that's where you need knowledge workers, you have exchange of not only good services, but also information. And you have to equip people to be able to learn fast, to be able to stay agile with change. What has happened is, just like customers became the center of the organization over time, now you have people at the center of the organization. As you know, we have a huge war for talent around the world. So really, the chief people officer role is to put people at the center, be it to create people experience, not only for internal, external customers, but for also for internal customers. So it's really providing people solutions to organizations in information age.
Interesting. And, you know, when you talk of technology, I wanted to ask you, what are your perceptions of how is technology changing human resources?
A good one. Technology is, reshaping the face of human resources by helping the function become more focused on people. By what happens is technology is taking away the transactional part. See, today, we do, I'll give you an example in where I work in Rogers. What we do is we use technology for first round interviews using AI. So it helps us remove a big part of the transactional elements. So as then we can focus more of our time on engaging with people, focusing on the experience, focusing on engagement and development. So technology is going, is helping in a way that the HR function, everything which is transactional, it'll be, is going to be taken care of by technology, using AI, using chatbots, using multiple software, so that you have people who can help your workforce, the employees adapt to change better and to grow in their career. So that's for me the focus of the future.
Okay. And I know I've been speaking to many HR leaders like yourself. There is also a lot of work being done in the area of artificial intelligence and how AI is actually helping HR leaders to be able to judge what kind of talent they want. Love to get your thoughts.
Well, it's I fully embrace that philosophy. You see, the field of human resources in general has been very poor in terms of using data and making database decisions. Now, with technology and AI, you can use, you don't need to develop the skill yourself. You can use the tools to be able to help you take informed decisions about people, about talent, about performance. So so it's really helping, AI is really helping businesses, organizations have access to information and data very more efficiently, more effectively, and take more informed decisions. That's one. Also, it's helping with, as things are changing so fast, I think it's an exciting time to be in. To live in and to work in, as we see the whole, there are three revolutions happening at the same time. You have the work, nature of work is changing, the workplace is changing, and the worker is changing. So, and we're in the midst of it. So being able to co-create with that is an exciting time.
Fascinating. Welcome back. And therefore, you know, a related question to you would be that since workplace is changing, you know, possibly because of the pandemic, the work, the workers are changing. What are your thoughts on the Great Resignation and more recently the Great Termination?
So I'll start with the pandemic has been, for me, it's been a portal for transformation. So in a few ways, first, organizations have had to adapt overnight to new ways of working and embracing technology more. But also a powerful portal for transformation because it has prompted people to introspect and to realize what really matters for them. Yeah, in terms of what's close to your values, what's your purpose, finding meaning in what you do, and having a more healthy work-life integration. So health and well-being and family has become more important. So people have realized, you know what, the 9-to-5, 9-to-6 job, being a cog in a machine, it doesn't serve me anymore. What am I here for? So, and it's driven that kind of realization, which has prompted people to leave their jobs in search for greater meaning. So I believe this is what characterizes the Great Resignation, the Great Realignment, whatever we call it. And so it's a phase. And now we are seeing another phase, which is everyone is calling quiet quitting. It's a new term, but it's existed many years. Another word for it, I would say, is presenteeism. It's a bit like you have absenteeism, but presenteeism is people on the job, they're present, but they're giving the strict minimum because there's no passion, there's no purpose in what they do. So that's what we call quiet quitting. So people are here, but they are not really engaged. Now you have quiet hiring also happening. So companies are starting to onboard new people, but in a way where the workforce has become hybrid and decentralized. So you no longer have to work with people employed. You can be working with freelancers and everything else. So that's how the workplace and the worker is changing.
And one more question on human resource, and then I'll move to your coaching avatar. There is also a lot of discussion about the gig workers and moonlighting. Some organizations seem to say moonlighting is fine. Some have just put their foot down and say moonlighting is not fine. As an HR leader, what are your thoughts?
I believe it's here to stay, and we have to adapt with it. We have to move with the times. So, as I said, the nature of work and also the nature of the worker is changing. By the nature of the worker, I mean, with new generations coming on board, they have new sets of values and beliefs, which means, as we've seen over generations, for example, the generation of my father, my grandfather, they used to be loyal to one job, one career, one company, and then it shifted to loyalty to my career, my skills. Now it's really, I'm loyal to my experiences. So a variety of experiences, when you look at it, someone who is in Generation Z today, just after millennials, it's expected they'll have at least 15 different positions in their career, 15 minimum, as they change. So moonlighting, having side hustles with the knowledge economy, it's here to stay. If I take my example, I'm a corporate leader, but also I'm an author. I'm also a public speaker. So, and it's something that I do on the side, which I've shared openly with my employer, my company, and they're fine with it as long as it's not impeding on what I do and it's not in direct competition. So companies will have to adjust and adapt to that as long as they find a means and an equilibrium to work with people. And in the war for talent, this will make a difference for those who want to stay ahead of the game.
Very interesting. And I think the most important thing you mentioned in your comment was, as long as I've shared it with my employer, I think that is so important, because that brings in the transparency. But Manish, now moving on, despite such a successful corporate career as a chief people officer, what made you become a coach?
Well, what made me become a coach is a bit of a calling. Why I've been in human resources, why I've been in the field of people development. So for me, it was just a natural progression in terms of, okay, how can I make an impact? So for me, as a leader at the executive level, is the belief I hold in mind is, how do I grow other leaders around, and how can I, it's my way of giving back. And for me, coaching is one of the most important skills of leadership today. In today's, as I mentioned, in today's knowledge economy, really being able to grow leaders and to help others grow is part and parcel of the role of any manager and any leader. So to be a coach for me is to be able to help managers and leaders become leaders, coaches and leaders themselves. So to coach them. So I train coaches, but I also act as an executive coach. So it's a natural progression.
Wonderful. And when you look at your own perspectives, your own background, how has your own background and your perspective supported your coaching philosophy, your style and your values?
So my background, as I mentioned, coming from a structured engineering background and then shifting into the field of human resources and business world. So it has helped me to embrace what I would call an ambidextrous mindset. That is the right brain and the left brain. The left brain part, very structured, systematic, and detail focused. But also the right brain in terms of engaging with people, with emotions, with intuition and creativity. So bringing all of these together, for me, what matters is, as a coach, is how can I help people grow and holding a space of being responsible to them, not for them. Mm. What it means is my role is to ignite the spark of transformation and growth in people.
Mm.
Is, and I believe all leaders today have need to have one key skill as part of coaching, is the ability to spot the potential in others.
Mm.
That's what makes this, it's a starting point of
right.
great leaders, the ability to spot the potential in others. So then from there, you can help them realize that potential mm. with coaching. So mm. that's the philosophy that I embrace.
Very interesting. And my next question, Manish, is that, you know, all of us have had some people who have influenced our lives. I want to ask you, who or what have you learned from your influencers that you have taken to your coaching relationships?
Okay. Thank you. It's a very, very important question for me, which I, for me, what's important is at every part of our career, our journey mm. is to have a network of benefactors, of mentors
mm.
that accompany you. So I've had the privilege and the opportunity to have mentors at different points in time,
mm.
and also as a way to give back, to act as a mentor myself.
Mm.
So you learn both ways, as a mentor and as a mentee.
Correct.
So I've learned a lot from different people. And what has helped me also learn is that you learn from everyone practically. Mm. Is there's always a lesson that you can learn. So I have that philosophy of the mindset of a beginner's mind.
Mm.
So in coaching, we call it hold a beginner's mind. So mm. there's always something to learn from every situation, from every interaction, and from every person, mm. including, for example, from our children. So mm-hmm. I have two kids, two boys, Rayansh and Cheyenne, 10 and 7. So mm. and as they grow up, it's an opportunity for me to learn through their mm. eyes also. Mm. So it's not only about learning from seasoned, experienced people, but also learning from practically everyone. There's always mm. interesting to see.
Very interesting.
My key advice is make sure at specific important phases of your life, you have someone to turn to interact with as a sounding board who can act as a mentor.
Mm. Interesting. One more question, and then I'll move to your books. You would have worked with, you know, senior leaders, younger leaders, and I've often said that, you know, the millennials and the Gen Z leaders are bringing in a breath of fresh air into the workplace. I want to ask you, what are the areas these young leaders need to be coached in?
If there's one, I think there are two aspects mm. I would focus on
mm.
for young leaders. The first aspect is the starting point is expanding self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we're exposed to so much information that our focus is outside and not inside.
Mm.
So it's really shining the light and the mirror on ourselves to mm. look at our own view, our own perspectives, exploring our own strengths, areas for improvement, mm. values, purpose, and skills. So it's really the more we expand self-awareness, the more we become better mm. human beings, more grounded, more complete. And that's the starting point.
Mm.
You know? The best leaders are the most self-aware people. So that's the first one. And the second point I would say is to be coached on how to be more focused.
Mm.
In today's world where we are bombarded with information, we have multiple solicitations, instant notifications, and are constantly connected on multiple platforms, mm-hmm. it's very easy to get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to succeed, what works best is to how to remain focused
mm-hmm.
and how do you, in a way, practice deep work in a way. So it's really how to choose the 20% and focus on the 20%, which makes 80% impact in order to be more impactful and to grow.
Thank you. What a great response. Manish, now let's talk about your books. I see behind you two books. One is Shots of Insights and the other is Disruptor. Tell me about both your books. Before that, I'm assuming they're available on Amazon and all the other platforms.
Yes. Yeah, they are available on Amazon, both of them.
Okay. So I'm asking all our viewers and listeners to go and check out the books written by Manish Bandhan. They are Shots of Insights and Disruptor. But over to you, Manish. Tell me about your books.
So thank you, Ashutosh. And it's a pleasure talking to a seasoned author like you.
Thank you.
You're already on your eighth or ninth book, right?
Yeah.
And I have a BHAG, a goal to write 5 bestsellers in 5 years.
Okay. So,
and I'm on the third one now. Really? In fact, my writing journey started during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of paused and said, okay, how do I make the most of the time available, and how can I give back and create positively? So that's where I started the practice of writing, and it's been a daily practice that I've maintained. So I write every day. So I post on LinkedIn a lot, so under the hashtag Shots of Insights, which gave rise to the first book. So Shots of Insights is a collection of 101 short stories and insights on how to be a better version of yourself. So how do you live, learn, and lead better? And the philosophy of Shots of Insights is you can open the book and you read any chapter. There's no specific order. Today you read chapter 102, 101. Tomorrow you can reach chapter 70, and you still get something positive. And it comes from personal experiences that I've learned, and I've learned myself and learned from others, through others.
And
Disruptor is a different kind of book. It's about a corporate journey, so from a corporate experience, about how do you embed the notion of agility in organizations. So it's based on our own experiences, my own experiences with Rogers. So I've been in the organization design and human resources space for the past 20 years, including 17 in my current organization. So it kind of charts out our tried and tested formula of how do you create more agility in organization and how do you create agile leaders. So it's called Disruptor. So how do you be a disruptor? How do you see things, do things differently before being disrupted yourself in a world of constant change?
Very interesting. And my last question to you, Manish, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation. What would you say, based on your own amazing journey and all your experiences, what would you say are three lessons or three learnings you would want our viewers and listeners to take away?
Okay, three lessons. So from my own experience, you know, what I would say is the first one is always at the very specific points in life, pause, reflect, introspect, and look back.
It's
important to look back in the mirror, in the rear view mirror. Why? Because it's important, as Steve Jobs said, to connect the dots.
Yeah.
You cannot connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect the dots looking backwards. And when you connect the dots, it kind of things make sense. Why you've been doing things in a way.
Correct.
What have you learned along the way? What have you, in terms of what has made you successful, what you could have done differently. So it's important at different points of life to stop, pause, and connect the dots. So that's one, lesson one for me. Lesson two is to keep investing in yourself. And that's the one where you have the highest return on investment.
Right.
So keep investing in yourself. By that, I mean, have a goal every year in terms of what is the skill you want to learn this year, something new. On a yearly basis, set a goal. On a regular basis, have a practice of engaging your mind in a way so that, for example, do you listen to podcasts, do you read books, or do you watch TED Talks and so on. So how do you keep engaging yourself, investing in yourself with new insights? Why? Because this has become more important than ever. Learning agility is a meta skill today if you want to succeed.
Correct. Yeah?
And the third lesson for me is your network is your net worth. I repeat, your network is your net worth. What it means is keep consciously building and nurturing your network around you. So reach out to people, connect with people. In this day and age, it's very easy to connect with people on social media. So reach out to someone, connect with them, get to know them, expand your network, because you never know what you can learn and what you can share with people and how you can create reciprocity in terms of services and activities. So again, expand your network.
Yeah, how wonderful. And on that note, and your three amazing lessons, pause, reflect, introspect, and look back. Learn and connect the dots. Number two, you said, was keep investing in yourself, which is so critical. And the third one I just loved was your network is your net worth. Thank you, Manish, for speaking to me about your incredible journey Thank you for speaking to me about some of your deep insights in human resources. Thank you for speaking to me about coaching. And thank you for speaking to me about both your books. And good luck with your new book. Thank you again and all the best.
Thank you, Ashutosh, and all the best also. And thank you for the brand call, you and bringing the stories of so many people to others.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.